Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, prophetic events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. On this week's program, I'd like to consider the satanic influence that is affecting our current culture. This is probably something we don't consider that often. You may be personally involved in one of those ministries that is always talking about Satan, where Satan is the source of all problems and demons are constantly being rebuked or cast out. But for most evangelicals, the work of Satan in this world is not a major focus. And rightly so. Because we understand from Scripture that the rebellion against God that we're dealing with today is coming from the unsaved people. The biblical prophet Jeremiah, in dealing with the apostasy of ancient Israel, never once mentioned Satan, because the sin was in the people, and they were responsible for the corruption. So also in addressing the sin in America, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13, "For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely." There's no mention of Satan's role or involvement throughout the entire book of Jeremiah. And practically, in doing the work of God today, there is not much we can do about Satan's involvement. Our job is simply to do the work of prayer and evangelism and discipleship and let God and the holy angels take care of battling the kingdom of Satan. We don't see any teaching in the New Testament, in the epistles, about Christians advancing the kingdom of God through battling demonic spirits, through exorcisms or whatever. Satan is not the focus. The focus is our holy living, the fulfilling of the Great Commission, the discipling of the nations. But nevertheless, the role of Satan is addressed in some texts. So there is something for us to know about Satan's work. If we keep a balanced theology in this topic of angelology, God specifically tells us at the end of the church age that the coming Antichrist, this global world leader, will be empowered and may even be possessed by Satan himself. Paul tells the churches in 2 Thessalonians 2:9 that the Antichrist, the one who is coming, is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all powers and signs and false wonders. In the book of the Revelation, the Apostle John tells us about the dragon, the serpent of old who is called the devil and who is called Satan, and he gives the Antichrist his power, his throne, and his great authority. Revelation 13:2. And at the end of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, we're told that the devil who deceived the nations is thrown into the lake of fire. Notice he has a role in deceiving the nations. So the Antichrist spirit that will arise in the world, and that's already in the world, is empowered by Satan, by spiritual forces of wickedness in high places, as we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And so this is something we need to consider. It must be very important that we recognize Satan's influence on what's happening in the world today. That what's happening is not normal, but it's actually supernatural. We need to realize that we're not crazy, but this world is being controlled and given over to spiritual forces of wickedness. There is a satanic conspiracy that's driving the popularity of leftist policies in the world today. The transgender movement, the pro-abortion movement, the globalist movement, the communist movement, the LGBTQ movement, even national health policy and election policy is being influenced by the kingdom of darkness. And this would all not be happening apart from the inspiration of Satan. Mankind alone would not have the motivation and these ideologies bringing about this national wickedness apart from satanic forces. For example, take the Old Testament character Job. He was unaware that Satan was behind all of his troubles and setbacks. He did not know that Satan inspired the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans to steal all of his livestock. He didn't know that Satan was behind that great wind that caused his children to die in a tornado. He didn't realize that Satan was the one who smote him with disease. Now, Job rightly attributed the primary cause to God, for God has authority over all things. But in such circumstances, it's easy for the believer to think it's just a string of bad luck, or this is just the way things are living on earth, or that this is just wicked men doing wicked things, or to think it's maybe my fault. I should have hired more guards to protect my flocks. I should have made my house more tornado-proof. I should have watched after my health a little bit better. I didn't take enough vitamin supplements. And so this is why all this is happening to me. But actually, all of Job's problems, all of his setbacks, all of his failures was Satan's doing. And that's something Christians might not consider. Instead, either blame themselves or blame the environment. And it can result in depression or even a disincentive to work for Christ, where Christians begin to think the world is just too wicked and too oppressive. I guess there's nothing we can accomplish for righteousness in this world, which is exactly what Satan wants us to think. And that's why he sends his demons to oppress us and oppose us at every point. Take, for example, the Apostle Paul, our apostle to the Gentiles. Paul wanted to visit the Thessalonican church. But he said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, I wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, yet Satan hindered us. What's Paul referring to? An actual appearance of Satan on the road? No, Paul is most likely referring to some circumstantial barrier created by the weather or by the Romans. But the point is that in this case, he perceived it was orchestrated by Satan. Now, Paul did not attribute all setbacks to Satan. Notice in Acts chapter 6, verse 16, Paul says it was the Spirit of God who closed the doors for him to go to Asia. But in some cases, Paul discerned a satanic hindrance. As in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the Apostle John writes that the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. In Revelation chapter 12, it's a devil who goes into the world to persecute the true Israel of God. The devil was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Satan is involved in persecuting the church. So Paul attributes some of his troubles, the troubles he had in his travels, to Satan. And when Paul had a physical ailment, most likely a disease in his eyes, he called it a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. But in the same text, he also says it's God who gave me this thorn. So my point is this. We often forget Satan's role in our troubles, in our setbacks, in our failures to get things done. And this applies to personal setbacks, but also to the work of Christian activists who are trying to bring righteousness to our nation. There is a satanic opposition element, and if we're not aware of it, we will attribute wrong causes to our problems and look to wrong solutions. We may even grow discouraged needlessly. So let's take a moment here and explain the role of Satan in this world. What would be classified in systematic theology as the doctrine of angels, both the doctrine of righteous and fallen angels. We see in the scripture Satan's control over the nations. Jesus called Satan the ruler of this world at least three times. John 12, John 14, John 16. And in the temptation, Satan said that all the kingdoms of this world have been handed over to him, and Jesus did not dispute his claim. Paul actually called Satan the god of this world, who has the power to blind the minds of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, who is now working in the sons of disobedience. Just like God's people are led by the Spirit of God, God leads our plans, our thoughts, our prayers. The unsaved are led by Satan. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Paul describes the unsaved as living under the dominion of Satan, in Satan's kingdom. And Satan, as the ruler of this world, controls his kingdoms, the nations. He possesses influence over the kings of this world. Again, in Revelation chapter 13, Satan empowers the beast, the empire of the Antichrist, with power, with the throne, and with great authority. And he leads the 10 kings of the nations to give their authority to the beast. Satan also plays on the minds of the unsaved so that they adore the Antichrist and his empire. And that explains the religious-like attraction that the Antichrist government will have. It's not just explained by social, economic, or psychological needs, a need for security, but this is a spiritual thing. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 14, it's the spirit of demons which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for Armageddon. So as we look at the nations of this world, even the list of nations in the UN, how many of them declare to be Christian? Now, some, like the United States, might be highly influenced by Christianity, but none of the nations declare categorically for Christ, because Satan is actually ruling the governments of men. So why is this surprising? Well, because we read so much in Scripture concerning the sovereignty of God over the affairs of this world, that God is the true God of this world. And we also read so much in Scripture concerning man's rebellion against God. It's not as if sinful humanity needs any help from Satan. Humanity is fully responsible. Now, we don't have in Scripture a single text that gives us a full explanation for what's going on here, but we can piece together various truths and conclude that Satan is still subordinate to God. And God allows Satan to rule over the earth, to judge the earth, but nevertheless, God is the one who is still ultimately in charge. God has Satan on a short leash. He is allowed to persecute the people of God, but only so much. And we realize that Satan cannot create new evil in people's hearts. He can only empower the evil that's already there. You know, as in the case of Job, the Chaldeans and the Sabaeans already wanted to steal Job's livestock, but they just needed the encouragement of Satan, telling them they could get away with it. And this is Satan's role. He's like the bad friend who encourages you to carry out your lusts. You know, given the weakness and the frailty of man, apart from the tempting of Satan, men wouldn't have the chutzpah to spread the ideology of communism, the ideology of LGBTQ, to have the gay pride parades, to spread the lies of secularism in the universities, to form the Communist Bolshevik Revolution, or the Communist People's Revolution in China. Mao Zedong was empowered by Satan. You know, as in the case of Judas, Satan empowered Judas to play out in the physical world his own previous rejection of Christ by betraying him to the Sanhedrin. It's not that Satan made Judas sin. Satan only gave Judas the power and the occasion. And this brings us to consider the actual goal of Satan. What's his end game? If we don't understand this, we'll not understand the particulars of his action. Jesus said his goal is to kill, to steal, and to destroy, John chapter 10. And in John chapter 8, to murder. Ultimately, he wants to destroy mankind. Now, it seems as if he wants mankind to side with him, to worship him in order to get moral support for his position that God doesn't have the right to rule the universe, that God's creation should be autonomous from God and should be allowed to be their own gods. But I suspect that in the end, Satan does not want an eternal kingdom where mankind will worship him. after Satan gets the unsaved to decide for him, he wants to destroy them. Men are made in the image of God. As far as Satan is concerned, he doesn't want any pictures of God left in this universe. Now, Satan's not stupid. He knows that God is eventually going to take him out. But before his time is up, he wants to destroy as much of mankind as possible. And I'm sure Satan doesn't believe God is using him to accomplish the testing and sanctification of God's people. All Satan cares about is destroying mankind. Now, you ask, where is all of this teaching in the Bible? Well, like I said, there's not one passage. We have to put together many texts about Satan from Genesis chapter 3, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel chapter 28. We need to be careful about too much speculation here. But the bottom line is this. We do know that Satan has a wonderful plan for your life. He wants to destroy you. You're not going to be in hell with your friends having a party. I have a retired Jersey City police officer in my church who said that's what he used to believe. And that's inconceivable, that anyone would believe they're going to have a party in hell. But remember the delusion of Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers. And this we also know, the immorality and the ideology of leftism that's being pushed today is not going to result in a utopian society, as postmodernists are claiming. When we get rid of God and godly values, our lives are not going to be better. It's going to result in destruction, and that's why Satan is pushing his lies. He wants to destroy the nations. When the Antichrist arrives, claiming to save this world, he actually wants to destroy this world. I really believe that the true ideologues of globalism and secular humanism want to depopulate the world because they consider mankind a cancer on earth. So where do you think they get this culture of death from? Their father, the devil. So we've looked at the role of Satan in the world, but briefly, let's look at his method. His main tool is lies and deception. Paul writes about men being influenced by the doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit explicitly says in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Notice that there is a chronological, prophetic, eschatological dimension to this invasion of demonic doctrine. Paul is saying that in the latter times, this will happen. He can be referring to the whole church age, but we know there is an implied progressive increase throughout the church age. For a while, Christian doctrine reversed pagan ideology. The Roman Emperor Theodosius made Christianity the religion of the Byzantine Empire. But ever since the Enlightenment, philosophers have been spouting all sorts of anti-Christian doctrine, and this is demonically inspired. We read in the Revelation that Satan is bound and then released. We also read in Revelation chapter 12, woe to the earth because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath because he knows his time is short. Now we wonder where this all fits into the chronology of the church age. But nevertheless, we do see a change in Satan's activity. Paul even writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that a point will come in church history when God will remove his restraint on evil and the earth will become lawless so that the Antichrist is revealed. And in this, we need to recognize the true source of leftist ideology. It's inspired by demons. Karl Marx, the founder of communism, an ideology that resulted in the death of over 200 million people in the 20th century, not even to mention the human suffering, well, Marx wrote about his dedication to Satan. In Karl Marx's poetry, he wrote, "My soul, once true to God, is chosen for hell." He writes, "The hellish vapors rise and fill the brain till I go mad and my heart is utterly changed." And Marx wrote, "The sword," referring to his communist ideas, "the prince of darkness sold to me." There are two books explaining the Satanism of Karl Marx, Marx and Satan by Richard Wurmbrand. Wurmbrand was persecuted for the faith in communist Romania, and he gives firsthand testimony of the demonic nature of communism. And then a recent book by Paul Kengor, The Devil and Karl Marx. Both are excellent resources. Maybe in my YouTube version of this program, I'll be able to give you more quotes. In fact, many of the founders of leftism spoke of their allegiance to Satan. Like Saul Alinsky, dedicated his Rules for Radicals to Satan. And many of the founders of modern critical theory from the Frankfurt School acknowledged that they were on Satan's side fighting against God. Now, of course, the left, the defenders of Satan, will never tell you this. Only a good Marx is taught in the universities. But that's the nature of the lie. The hiding of the truth, to deceive, to appear as an angel of righteousness. So let's not be deceived. So what's happening in this world? The popular ideology has its origin in Satan's influence. When Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto, it was at first called the Communist Confession of Faith. But that sounded too religious, so he changed it to the Communist Manifesto. And he began the manifesto by saying that a ghost or a specter has fallen upon Europe. He was referring to his ideology of communism. And it was really no mistake that he describes his philosophy as an unholy spirit falling upon the world. So therefore, back to the point. We who know the Lord, we who are God's ambassadors to this world, need to recognize the role of Satan in orchestrating what's happening in this world. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, to inform believers to consider the work of Satan. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. But you ask, why do we even have to know about Satan's activity? Isn't it enough to just serve God and leave the secret things of Satan up to God? After all, if we just concentrate on what we're called to do, holy living, prayer, and evangelism, God will take care of the secret, unseen works of Satan. Well, God actually wants us to know about Satan's work. That's why we have Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And let me close with at least four reasons. First, the truth about Satan's involvement explains the popularity and the empowerment of evil in our current society. And then second, recognizing the truth about Satan's involvement will cause us to rely more upon God's Spirit to accomplish a victory. The whole point of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 is to remind the believers, therefore, we need to put on the whole armor of God. And third, by recognizing the role of Satan, we can emphasize in our preaching that leftism is satanic in origin. And this is a truth that the unsaved must become aware of. They must be told that they're being influenced by spiritual forces of wickedness outside of themselves. The world needs to know, Revelation 12:12, woe to the earth, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can access all of the links to watch the extended video version of this program. From there, you can email me with questions, comments, insights, and suggestions. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support that makes this program possible. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to stand firm against this present darkness. Help us to recognize and communicate the spiritual battle going on in this world, that souls would be saved and that Christ would be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.